I'm continuing to read some highlights from the newly discovered translation of parts of the Aeneid by C.S. Lewis. Last time I read you just the bit where Dido and Aeneas first meet. Now I'm going to read to you about the beautiful feast that she set for them and how she fell in love with him. And the passage begins with the goddess of Venus speaking to Cupid, her son, the god of love, and asking him to disguise himself as Aeneas' son so that he can be at the feast and cause Dido to fall in love madly with Aeneas. I think the language in this passage is absolutely superb. It's very rich. It keeps the classical meanings, but it's rich with, I think, a sense of the English romantics as well. Extraordinary passages, really, and the sound of the words, the music of the words. Lines like, "On soft Idalium marjoram makes sweet the air, flowers and shadowy twilight," for example. So, we begin with Venus speaking to Cupid. "Do thou this night, no longer I require, his face assume, and, for thou art a boy, his boyish grace. So, when the wine flows freely, in each pause between their royal mirths, delighted, in her arms the queen may fold thee oft and kiss thee on the lips, and so drink madness and sweet poison thence, and never know. Then, at her dear commandment, nothing loath, the god put off his wings. With imitated steps he trod to act to Aeolus, over whom, with drowsy charms, Venus poured sleep, and folding him within her arms, close to her heavenly bosom, bore him up to where on soft Idalium marjoram makes sweet the air, and flowers and shadowy twilight fill the mountain grove. But meanwhile, to the Tyrian court, the god of love, bearing Aeneas gifts, with glad Achates came. The feast was now beginning. The queen's couch, aflame with gold, stood in the centre. On rich purple, they of Troy, with our great father, round about her lay. Girls pour pure water on their hands, and baskets full with bread they bring, a napery of fine shorn wool. 50 the maids who carry in the ordered line of dishes and set fire before each household shrine. 100, too, to minister and serve and pour, and youths of equal age with theirs, 100 more. There came in throngs the Tyrian lords at Dido's call to share the bright solemnity, and filled the hall and wondered at Aeneas' gifts, wondered to see and hear Aeolus, counterfeit divinity flashed through, and at the bright veil and the cloak of Paul. But Dido, now abandoned to her fate, of all her court the most insatiably looked and heard. Both by the gifts and by the child her heart was stirred, he in Aeneas' arms and on his knees, and while he falsely met each fatherly caress and smile aimed at the queen, intently she looked on, her face and heart still held, and often in her own embrace she took what seemed Ascanius, nor ever guessed how great a spirit had lighted in her luckless breast. He, from the queen's heart, delicately, mindful of his mother's plan, was blotting out her widowed love and memory of Sychaeus, in her heart, long cold, kindling an unaccustomed warmth. New loves for old."